Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world, but if this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If, though, you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. In this episode, we'll be talking creative excellence with Head of Marketing and Business Development at Quantuma, Alex Footman, with Creative Director at Oma Bono, James Holland, with Head of Practice at Usurpo, James Harrington, with Creative Director at Ogilvy UK, Claire Russell, and with Brand and Marketing Specialist, Katie Pocock. Are you ready? Then let's cut to the chase. Today, we continue our A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every big topic in business marketing land. And we've reached X, and I'm having to cheat a little. X stands for excellence in creativity. Five experts will talk on the topic today, starting with the head of marketing and business development at Quantuma, Alex Footman. Alex, welcome to the podcast. And over to you.
Hi, Dave, and thank you for having me. So what I wanted to talk about today was, I guess, applying creative thinking innovation where processes and systems are concerned. So perhaps not the most obvious of subjects or topics when you think about excellence in creativity, but one that's essential, I think, nevertheless. You know, marketing teams are having to adapt more and more technology. They're working with multiple platforms, managing different systems. So looking at how you develop, establish, create different processes, I think is becoming increasingly complicated and important for B2B marketing teams. And there's four areas that I'm going to cover quite briefly and hopefully provide your listeners with some practical pointers based on my own experience. So the first area is that I'm going to focus on is utilizing creative approaches to looking at systems and processes in order to track ROI. You know, recording ROI has to be right up there in terms of one of the biggest challenges that marketers face. And I think one of the ways in which you can tackle this is not necessarily through looking at, you know, expensive marketing technology stacks or expensive systems, but looking at some of the more simple ways in which you can establish a process to track the moments when a prospective client or customer is interacting with you. So to give you an example, and quite a basic example, but hopefully a useful one, thinking about the times in which a prospective client or customer interacts with content on your site. You know, are there opportunities to tag that opportunity or to tag that moment and pull that inquiry into whatever system it is that you're using? So typically, you know, a CRM system. So to give you a more practical example of that, you know, we've recently been looking at the ways in which we record those moments. How can we capture information from individuals that are making inquiries and pull that information into our system and then track it downstream? So, for example, we may give the source of that opportunity, we'll track it in CRM, and then we'll look at how long it takes for that contact to potentially generate work or income for the firm. So that's just one way of looking at, you know, different moments and opportunities where you can record meaningful information in order to track return on investment. The second area I'm going to look at is, and again, a scenario which I'm sure lots of your listeners will face, is how do you manage new and old systems together? You know, the increase in the number of platforms and infrastructure that we're required to manage as marketing teams has increased exponentially in the last 10 or 15 years. And I think the challenge that I've certainly found, and I'm sure lots of your listeners will find, is that you can't integrate everything. And you'll have scenarios where you're running in parallel legacy systems, be it, you know, an old content management system for one of your websites, or perhaps even an old CRM system that for cost reasons you just can't upgrade. And I think thinking about in a creative way how you bring those systems together, it is increasingly important. And I think the first step in that is looking at what can you integrate and what can't you integrate. Sometimes integration is just simply too costly. So it might be, so to give an example, lots of your listeners, I'm sure, will have been using webinar platforms in the last 18 months. And some, I'm sure, that have perhaps never used webinar platforms. You know, we've, as a team, we've been looking at the challenge of how do we integrate CRM and our webinar platform. And what we've done is we've looked at, well, actually, there are some ways in which we can integrate them without actually connecting the two systems. So we've looked at the data that we need to capture for the purpose of creating leads and opportunities in our CRM system. And we've replicated those fields in our webinar platform. So there's no, there's not necessarily a technical, you know, there's not an integration from a technical perspective between the two, but we've worked around that challenge by mapping data from one system to another. And I think that, you know, that's just one example. I'm sure there'll be plenty others that your listeners will come across. I think it's important to look at, what is going to create the most efficiencies for you as a team in terms of upgrading or changing systems or you know, integrating systems together. The third then is around documenting processes. So, and again, maybe not the most creative of topics for your listeners, but I think, you know, if you're establishing process, it's important to look at, you know, how do you create some governance around those processes and systems? And what I wanted to say here is that, you know, documenting processes, it doesn't have to be dull. One of the things that we've looked at is, well, how do we make that more visual? How do we inject some creativity into the documentation of processes and the systems that we manage as a marketing team? You know, can you record a process through some kind of screen capture as opposed to writing bullet points in a Word document? And some of our processes we share with some of our internal clients. And so I think coming up with creative ways of communicating how a process works is incredibly important in that context. And after all, you know, we are marketers, so we should be able to look at how we can apply some creativity to those documents. The fourth area then is, certainly from my experience, I've worked in professional and financial services for a long time. And so working, our internal clients are incredibly important to us. So we work very closely with our fee earning colleagues who are there to generate work for the firm. And thinking about how processes work for those individuals, the marketing processes that we're establishing. So, for example, how do we create new documents for a particular sales pitch? You know, what does that process look like? And making that process as slick as possible, and in some respects, as light touch for your internal clients, I think is incredibly important. You know, we spent a lot of time in the last 3 or 4 months rebuilding the marketing section of our intranet to look at ways that we can repurpose that and restructure it. So we've stripped out any jargon. We've made sure that files are easy to download. So in some ways, it's applying the same kind of thinking that you would do for marketing to your key target markets or segments, applying some of that thinking to your internal clients where processes and systems are concerned. You know, how can you make that experience for your internal clients when they interact with marketing as pain-free and as enjoyable as possible? You know, establishing user-friendly templates and just making that experience, you know, one that they'll want to come back to. So look, those were the key things that I wanted to share. As I say, not systems and processes, not necessarily one of the most obvious topics to cover, but hopefully those points have been useful for your listeners.
Alex Footman, that was brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dave. Pleasure.
Our next creative excellence expert is the creative director at Omobono, James Holland. James, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thank you, Dave. So I'm James Holland, and Omobono, if you don't know, are the digital experience company for business brands. So hopefully anybody listening to this would be one of our target clients. So we recently, interestingly, joined forces with Marketing Practice and Kingpin to bring creative excellence to a much wider range of clients. With three agencies come together and kind of share our skill set. But as Dave asked me what it means to me, I'll think about that, as opposed to just giving you the hard sell on Omobono. For me, creative excellence is the thing that we are always striving for. When we talk about wanting to win more work, wanting to get more work from clients, you know, why do clients come back? They come back because of excellent creative work. They come back because of quality. Getting there is the interesting part of the job. At Omobono, we have creative steps. This is our method of ensuring creative excellence. So what we found is that clients will come to us with a brief, and we all know the kind of, you know, champagne, job, cider money, that whole thing. Very often the client comes to us saying, we've got this campaign idea, we've got this thing we want to sell, we want to revolutionize the industry. And then when we, you know, go full on for some huge creative results, we find that they don't want that at all. They want iterations of previous campaigns. They want something that looks a bit like their competitor doing, or maybe a bit slicker. They want something that they can fit very neatly into a social campaign and that works well on LinkedIn. They're not looking for the big creative execution. And the biggest challenge really is less about beautiful creative work and more about how we work with the clients to ensure that we're really aligned in terms of expectations. And our job, particularly as creatives, is to elevate the client, not only the quality of the work, but also the quality of expectation. We want them to want more. We want them to demand more, to expect more, to want to push higher and harder, and not be, not to make do with creative averageness, effectively. As I'm sure we all know, in B2B, campaigns are often not tracked as well as they are in, say, B2C. There's a lack of tracking. So how do you say what's excellent and what's not? Is it awards? Is it, you know, peer recognition? Is it that you get a pat on the back from your boss? We, at the end of the day, we want to be proud. We're proud of what we're doing. We want the client to be proud. We want them to tell them about it. We want them to be excited. I want to come back. And I think something about creative excellence that is intangible, that is not something you can put a number on, something that you look at, you think, well, that's really interesting, that's different, that's exciting. It's an interesting, intangible thing that is really hard to explain what it is. When you see it, you know it, and we're always aiming for it. It is our North Star. It is the thing that drives us forward. It is the thing that makes us work harder and the longer hours to kind of achieve it. That's where we're going. So hurdles and pitfalls, how do we get there? I think a main pitfall we find is trends. So trend is double-edged sword. Trend is wonderful. You can, you know, you're hitting that zeitgeist, you're doing that thing, you're looking like that cool brand over there, you're doing that thing that the artist is doing, that's wonderful, good for you. And it often gets very tired very quickly, and you see the same thing over and over again. If I see one more campaign where a business brand has taken some one of those 3D animations that goes around in a big loop and stuck the logo over it, there's like one guy there who does these things, he's making bank right now, gonna scream. Like, it's there's these little trends that emerge and come out of the ether and everyone jumps on them. 3D animation, that's great. We don't have to show people smiling anymore. Wonderful, we're all sick of that. Let's get on that. Then suddenly it's all everyone's doing 3D animation, 2D, 2D illustrations, 2D illustrations of people smiling. Yeah, great. Oh, now everyone looks like Silicon Valley. Fuck. Why don't we do something else? Why don't we make it like a bit more hand-drawn? You know, there'll be next year, or everything will be painted because everyone follows everybody else. We like to swim in the shoal. And that's a challenge. That's a hurdle, is how do you sell a client who wants to do something exciting and interesting, and they're looking around and they're seeing exciting stuff for them, and they just want that. How do you stop them copying what everyone else is doing? That's the interesting part, my point of view. You have to look further. When we show client reference materials, you know, my team, we don't try to show them other B2B brands. Go and look at some architecture, go and look at some painting, go and do something in nature, or take a scientific theory and use that as a basis of some creative work.
James Holland, Creative Director at Omobono, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on the podcast once again, Dave. It's always a pleasure. A quick introduction to myself. I'm James Harrington, Head of Practice here at Userpo. We're a boutique executive search organisation specialising in placing commercial hires within the B2B technology sector. Personally, I've got over 15 years of experience of hiring B2B marketeers. In this time, the recruitment market has really changed and evolved. This change has been across what companies expect and need from the marketing department, all the way through to how organisations recruit marketeers and how marketeers are assessed within an interview process. Today, I'll give my perspective on why creativity in business marketing is so important within a recruitment setting. First, from a hiring manager's perspective, and secondly, things to consider if you're on the hunt for your next opportunity. It's my belief that over recent years, too much emphasis has been placed upon the importance of candidates demonstrating their worth through talking through facts and figures, which are all too often the main yardstick in measuring a candidate's ability to perform. A CMO, Andrew Geegan, last year said, "It seems creativity has fallen out of fashion in a world continuing to make sense of so-called digital channels, data and tech, and artificial intelligence." He goes on to define that creativity is the oxygen in marketing. Across my last 100 assignments, there's only been a handful of occasions in which hiring managers have placed a candidate's creativity abilities high up on their requirements list. It's often the case that more emphasis is placed upon industry experience, time spent in a similar position, or experience of successfully driving the lead nurture machine and delivering impressive numbers around conversion and marketing's contribution to sales. This is somewhat puzzling, as without an engaging creative strategy, any marketing activity is going to fall on its arse. Finding an individual who can combine creative marketing thinking with the ability to align that with delivering positive KPIs has got to be the ultimate hire. Hiring managers should probe further into an individual's creative acumen and not just focus on the commercial business acumen. Now, don't get me wrong, in the current business world, having superior commercial acumen is going to be essential to be a high performer, but it should be combined with the ability to think creatively. How can hiring managers assess creativity? Well, personally speaking, as someone that's interviewed thousands of candidates over my career, it's easy to spot a high-performing creative marketeer. Clues often in the delivery of words, how animated they become when talking about their marketing experience, but most importantly, the passion that flows through every word that they say. It's not good enough for a candidate to bring along a copy of the last 5 adverts that they've written or published, or pull out a phone and play a 5-minute video. I want you to talk me through a situation, bring it to life with vigour and enthusiasm. I want to know what the business objective was, what the customer needs are, and finally, what's the message of the campaign and how it was delivered. Obviously, once we talk through all the creative elements, I'll need to know what the performance levels are, but gone are the days of mindlessly probing purely around the numbers. Let's dig deeper into the bigger picture. creativity in business marketing isn't just all about adverts and TV media. It's about how you approach any form of marketing. It's the ability to think differently, challenge the status quo, do things that have never been done before, approach tasks in new ways, and be visionary. Hiring managers need to ask the right question, though, to encourage creative answers. It's going to be a two-way street, guys, and there is a skill in how you interview a candidate to ensure that you discuss the right topics and allow a candidate to express their relevant experience. From a candidate perspective, being able to articulate your creative experience requires preparation and thought. You'll want to avoid the pitfall of underpreparing and not given enough time to talk through your creative marketing experience. It's really important as it's definitely a differentiator against other candidates because it's related to you, the individual, it's personal. You'll no doubt have hundreds of examples of where you've demonstrated your creative abilities, but it's best to have a few examples well documented in your mind so you can talk through them comprehensively and in detail. When we use the word creative, what often springs to mind is more related to kind of artistic flair. Not many are blessed within that skill set, so my take on creative marketing is have the ability to understand a brief for the intended market activity, then having a creative vision to think outside the box. Step away from the mainstream, from what your competition are doing. Deliver something that's unique and drive success and results from your customers. In an interview scenario, you'll need the ability to construct your experience in an almost storytelling mode. Be sure to engage with your audience and instill passion in your delivery. No matter if you're a marketing executive or a VP of marketing, utilising the STAR method to recall your experience will give you the structure needed to give your example the detail that people appreciate. That's situation, task, actions and results. Using this framework allows you to discuss what the business situation was, how you approached the task, what creative marketing approach you utilised to deliver against the task, and ultimately, what was the result. By using this framework, you can build a story around the example and really bring to life the creative marketing element. Once you've linked the commercial requirement to your creative marketing strategy, be sure to connect it back to the performance metrics to ensure your audience appreciates the full landscape. In summary, hiring managers don't just want marketeers who deliver successful metrics. They want individuals who possess creative marketing abilities to propel their brand, differentiate the organization from the competition, and most importantly, help create innovative, fresh thinking teams who deliver industry leading marketing campaigns.
Hi Dave, this is Claire Russell. I'm just going to give you my thoughts on how we can ensure creative excellence in B2B. Okay, so to start with, how do you get it? I think it's really important that there is a strong strategy and brief with an insight that the creatives can get behind. But before that, the client needs to assign that off. So everyone is behind the direction in which we are going, which we can ideate and create upon. And that single-minded train of thought is never questioned then. It can be seen through all the work and the work can be measured against it. We often find, especially in B2B, that the products and services and solutions that we are selling are very complicated. It's not simple. It's not straightforward. It's not something you can buy off the shelf. It's a much longer term, and the buy-in process is often, you know, over the course of months and years. So it's important that we can boil that down to a simple message to get people's attention, right? And then the benefits of that, you know, are quite simply, first of all, cut through in the busy market. That's obviously what we're here for. We all want to be heard loudest and first. And differentiation. So it's important that kind of insight and that single-minded thought, as I mentioned, is the reason to believe, and it's going to differentiate. So it's not cutting through simply because it's shouting the loudest, but also because it's got the best thing to say. Also, we want people to get excited about, you know, this solution or this service or this product, and the creative is a great way to do that. You know, if we're not going to be creative with our advertising and the way that we're speaking to our customers, and we just go about the same old ways to market, then, you know, we're not going to turn their heads. We're not going to get them excited. They're not going to think there's anything new or innovative for them to, you know, read more about or, you know, call the sales guy for a conversation. But equally, it's also positive brand association. You know, if there's humour or innovation or creativity in the way that we market, that's what your brand is going to be associated with. Oh, okay, they've got something different to say, or they're saying something in a more interesting, innovative way. You know, okay, this brand's cooler than I thought, or this brand is cool if they've not heard of them before, depending on, you know, the scale. So there's a lot to be said for what you're actually doing for elevating your brand as well as a particular offering. You asked a question about hurdles. Well, there's a lot of those, right? It is not an easy process. We have so many hurdles to overcome, especially if you're working on a global level with many markets that you're rolling out into. The stakeholders in your immediate, you know, marketing team, and then the stakeholders in the market level, you know, where you've got different cultures and different languages to consider in the creative work that you're doing. And then obviously you've got budget, which is always a constraint creatively. It can be a challenge, positive and negative. But that's always something that, you know, we're battling with in our kind of niche area of advertising. And equally timings. I always find it that we could, you know, plan a lot better. We don't ever seem to get the lead time on projects to be able to kind of plan accordingly or really do something groundbreaking that best represents these groundbreaking products and solutions that we're often selling. And it would be great if, you know, the marketing teams and you know, ourselves had the opportunity to plan further ahead, you know, not each quarter, but actually on a yearly basis, or, you know, into the year ahead. And then it's just that kind of belief and passion. I think, you know, there's so many hurdles from a creative team, right? You have to, you know, do your peer review within your department. Then you have to do your internal review with the account management. At each of these stages, you fall over and you refine. But you can also, you know, limit the work that goes out through fear of what the client's reaction might be. But I think if you've got, going right back to what I said, you've got that brief of that single-minded plan of attack, that insight, and if the work is selling that and it's living up to that, you need the team to get behind it and be brave and believe in it. Because if everyone's behind it, then everyone will sell it. Whereas if it's just down to the creative, it's not enough. You know, we're not sales guys on our own. We're not having those conversations on a daily basis. You have to really plant it and nurture it to let it actually grow. And sorry for that terrible cliched analogy, but it's true. You a brilliant idea isn't enough. You need everyone to get behind it and sell it. And I think that's always a joy for me as well, when you see everyone get behind it and the client as well. You know, you've got a good idea. But, you know, once you've sold that idea, that's not it. That's the beginning. That's the fun part. And then the hard work comes in, getting it, not, and the fun part, to be fair, but, you know, getting it through, getting all of those decisions made, making sure it does everything it needs to do, getting the production done, you know, getting it into all the various assets whilst staying true to that brilliant single-minded idea. You also asked me about trends. I'm not sure that this is a trend or possibly more of a desire and something that I think would be really beneficial, but it's easier said than done. Many of our clients have so many offerings, so many solutions, and they're all quite complex, you know, and you can say that across many industries, right? In consulting, finance, legal services, technology. And actually, it's when they all come together that you have the wider offering for many companies, and you can kind of help them in many ways. And I think there's a lot to be said for trying to combine projects for our clients. So rather than having all of these siloed marketing campaigns going on, bringing them together, right? Less is more. and having, you know, a more brand positioning pieces which actually talk about the wider offering rather than these siloed pieces, which don't often say much different. They're often saying a very similar thing. When you boil down to what the single insight is on each of those campaigns, they tend to be very repetitive. So why not put all of that budget together and really get more bang for your buck and get out to market and position your brand as the leader in, you know, your specialism. And for me, that could be so powerful. And that's when you can get, you know, really great creative work, because not only have you got all of these people to get, you know, all of this single-minded thought to get behind, but clearly you'll have that collated budget as well. However, it will come with more stakeholders, so, you know, lots more hurdles. But that's something that excites me, and also I think will elevate B2B to be more of the, you know, a brother or sister to consumer, because you're talking about brand positioning work and your audience becomes wider. So that thought, that possibility, not necessarily trend, is something that, you know, I'm really driven by. I hope that helps. Speak to you soon.
Our next creative excellence expert is a brand and marketing specialist for UK telco businesses, Katie Pocock. Katie, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thanks very much, Dave. I think it's a great question, creativity. So why is that important? I think we should start with the customer first. You know, B2B buyers are humans with emotions. They're not robots. We know that the first impressions count, and in fact, you have 7 seconds to capture someone's interest. And I think in a world of fragmented and multifaceted communications, it's never been more important to do that. Secondly, I think customers are demanding more from their existing or prospective business suppliers. They want them to be more transparent, authentic, more socially and environmentally conscious. So brands need to be aware of this. And thirdly, and really importantly, B2B buyers are as, if not more, brand conscious than consumers. And that's really, really important for creativity. These B2B buyers have, you know, their reputation on the line when they're looking at companies to make big purchase decisions with. They want partnerships with longevity and prosperity. Interestingly, there is some research by Lippincott that demonstrated this. It was a statistical analysis of simulated choice showing the relative impact of individual prices, features and brand on purchase decisions. The consumer's choice was driven 34% by features, 39% by price, and 27% by brand. But for the business buyer, the impact of brand was 39%, price 27%. So actually, this was reversed, and I've seen other similar studies on this. And then obviously, we're all in it for the business. We're all here to be successful as marketeers. And then there's the benefits for the business. There's big opportunities for brands who use creativity to their advantage. They'll connect better, they'll build brand value, and they'll drive longer-term sales growth and advocacy. Other research indicates the longer you run emotionally-led campaigns, the higher the profitability of the company. This is really, really important that we think about the insights, we think about how we can creatively execute communications against them. And not just do them as one-off campaigns, but consistently apply this. So how is B2B marketing actually doing? Pretty badly, unfortunately. 75% of businesses are only scoring 1 out of 5 in terms of emotional impact. This was demonstrated by a piece of research by the LinkedIn B2B Institute, along with research agency System One. So why is this? Well, there's some usual excuses that definitely come up in my experience. Business marketing, we don't always have the big media budgets of the consumer world. So it's pretty easy to say, we can't afford to do that video. We can't afford to produce that TV ad. we can't afford the production costs of something really creative. So why are we doing so badly in B2B marketing when it comes to creativity? One of the most usual excuses I've come across is budget. We don't have enough budget. We can't afford the production costs. We can't do a highly quality produced video. Another one is, well, features are the safe bet. We know what our customers want and we'll tell them what we can deliver. And that often wins over really delving into what the emotional benefits of a product or service really are. People can get uncomfortable with that when you look at the emotional, you know, benefits, the feelings that a service can provide. But let's get real. I think it's really easy to be able to do good quality production in any format for business campaigns. And it's also easy to combine both emotional messaging with rational messaging. There's many a campaign framework that can be mapped to key buyer journeys and where you can cleverly dial up and dial down the emotional versus the rational messaging. In fact, I've done this myself several times. I'd say one of the best campaigns I did when I worked at Vodafone was a Ready for Anything business campaign. We heroed business customers. They were front and centre of our ads and all of our advertising creative and sales creative. We delved into their stories. We understood why they went into business. We understood the challenges of setting that business up. We understood the challenges of everyday life, and we understood how they felt when their business was running well and how they were performing. And we ran a lot of video on demand. And these were 90-second case studies in telco B2B, which are not known to be overly exciting. And over 90% of people watched those videos in entirety, which goes to show the power of storytelling. And it was a truly creative campaign. And we invested in the production budget. And we reaped the benefits of that. But if you're not a big business brand, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, smaller companies with smaller budgets, or even big companies with small budgets, can do amazing things with authentic handheld shot video. There's amazing specialist freelancers out there. It's all about understanding the customer and cracking that insight and focusing on feeling. And I think you can do that through campaigns, but you can do that with any marketing brief, however big or small. So how do you do it well? Here's some top tips from me. As I've said, insight. Insight is at the heart of cracking creativity. Insight, understanding the customer, and from that creativity is born. Powerful storytelling. Getting your tone right, having a really clear persona, bullseye persona for your brand. You're talking to humans, not businesses, and that's what makes a difference. And recognizing where to dial up an emotional versus more rational messaging within your marketing mix. Some pitfalls. Creativity is great, but not for the sake of it. I've had many an experience with briefs where I've looked at agency creative and the humour's just been totally wrong and that would damage the brand. Or I just can't decode it because it's too clever and it works for a marketing agency, but it's not going to work for the customer. Secondly, campaigns, you know, you've got a great creative. Your campaigns must be backed up with the right marketing and sales ops behind that. People's tools and processes, you know, we need to realise the benefits of that cracking creative and communications. And if you're not doing big campaigns, don't think you can't be creative. As I've said, every marketing activity is an opportunity, whether it's an infographic, a web page, or a really great webinar presentation that's going to light up that day of the events for those people that are there. And who does it well and why? I think newer marketing-led organisations have really raised the bar. You know, you've got the likes of Salesforce. They're absolute heroes of customer success stories. In fact, they're organised as customer success teams around your business. And they do a brilliant job at storytelling internally and engaging their internal teams who then take and carry that story out as well as their customers. Starling Bank are also an amazing disruptive entrant. And I think there's quite a lot of startups coming into industries and who are showing that disruption. And that is being done through amazing creativity. Their Flying High campaign was outstanding, launching their business banking. Go and have a look at it if you haven't seen it. It's an absolutely beautiful campaign. And Starling Bank are doing really well. I think they've got about 6% of the business market in such a short space of time. And there's many more, but I think for me to conclude, there is some creativity out there, but we can be more creative as B2B marketeers. I think the businesses that differentiate their brand demonstrate that authenticity, that really clear sense of purpose, and those that are in touch with customers, you know, emotional and rational needs will prosper.
Katie Pocock, thank you very much. And that's it for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, Alex Footman, James Holland, James Harrington, Claire Russell and Katie Pocock. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.